Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Welcome you to our worship service as we begin the first Sunday of Lent. We're glad that you are here. And a couple, several announcements, and then we'll get right into worship. Just a couple announcements. I saw that most of you did real well in picking up hymnals. And here's the more important part, is when you leave, please take them back to that table so that we can have them. So we've ordered a cart. It was supposed to be in, but it's not here yet. But we'll have a cart that you can put them on. But I'm glad we're going to be using hymnals again, and glad that you have that. Also, we are collecting the final collection for the bus passes for those that go to Parkview. And it's not only to provide a ride. The subsequent part of not having a ride, if they're not able to afford a bus, means that they can get less food because they're not able to carry it. So not only will this provide rides, it will enable them to get more food for their family. You can put it in the offering plate normally, and if you write a check, just distinguish it so we'll know from your general tithes and offerings and put in the memo line, bus pass, make it out to the Well Church. If you want to use cash, there are envelopes on the back. You can put money in the envelope and put it in an offering. And that will go toward that, and then we'll get the total to you. Any other announcements? Okay, let's go to prayer requests. And let me begin by stating that we put out a robocall late last night. Cheyenne was located at 1:30 this morning. She was returned to the house. They've had lots of discussions since her return. So Robert is resting this morning. But let's continue to keep the Wright family in our prayers, Cheyenne in particular. Any other items of prayer this morning? Yes, sir, Larry.
Wayne Dealer, born Sterling Oil Company. I work for him and pretty good friends, and he's having a lot of heart issues. So I've been keeping an eye on what the daughter Donna hopes.
Let's keep Wayne Beeler.
That's all.
Okay. Okay. Thank you for sharing. Let's keep Wayne Beeler in our prayers with heart issues. Thanks, Larry. Anyone else? Okay. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Lord, we thank you for this day, for an opportunity in this country to gather in freedom to worship the God above. We thank you for an opportunity to gather and do so with friends, with, yea, even closer than friends, with brothers and sisters. We just are so appreciative of being able to have a place we belong, a place where we are valued, a place where we are heard, a place where a sympathizing tear and a shared laughter is ours at the appropriate time. We're just grateful for your calling us unto yourself and calling us unto yourself with others. And our heart goes to those that we've lifted up. We lift up all those that we have on our list. We pray for the state of the world, those in harm's way. We pray that you will give wisdom to leaders, that the way of love and respect for the image of God in all people will be manifest in decisions made. We just ask your blessings upon the Wright family. We're grateful that Cheyenne was found and found safely. We pray that you would just continue to be with that family, bring health and healing. We pray that you'd be with Wayne Beeler. I pray that you would just comfort and strengthen him, be with Donna and all the family. We just pray that you will strengthen them. And we just thank you for an opportunity to gather in your house to lift high our voices, to hear your word, and to take you at your promise that where two and three are gathered in your name, you're in the midst. You meet us here in word and sacrament. And we gather with eager anticipation of your work in our midst. And we pray this through the name of the one who makes it possible, Christ Jesus. Amen. We gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy upon us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your mercy, cover our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with the living Spirit. Amen.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
Amen.
We'll use verses 1 through 13 of a beloved psalm to many of you. And then after that, we will stand and sing hymn 97. Let me ask before we do the call to worship, is anyone missing a hymnal or needs a hymnal? Raise your hand. Okay, so everyone has it. Wonderful. Let's call each to worship. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High abides under the shadow of the Almighty.
He shall say to the Lord, you are my refuge and my stronghold, my God in whom I put my trust.
He shall deliver you from the snare of the hunter and from the deadly pestilence.
He shall cover you with his wings, and he shall find refuge under his wings. His faithfulness shall be a shield in your heart.
You shall not be afraid of any terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day.
Of the day which flies in darkness, nor the sickness that lays waste in the day.
1,000 shall fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand. But it shall not come near you.
Your eyes shall only behold, to see the reward of the wicked.
Because you have made the Lord your refuge, and the Most High your habitation.
There shall no evil come after you, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling.
For he shall give his angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways.
They shall bear you in their hands.
You shall tread upon the lion and adder. You shall trample the young lion and the serpent under your feet. Amen. Let us stand and sing together hymn 97.
Rain drinks of battle. The first reading is Deuteronomy 26, 1 to 11. Moses said to the Israelites, "When you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance and have taken possession of it and live in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground which you harvest from your land that the Lord your God is giving you. And you shall put it in a basket, and you shall go to the place that the Lord your God will choose to make his name to dwell there. And you shall go to the priest who is in office at that time and say to him, 'I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our fathers to give us.' Then the priest shall take the basket from your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God. And you shall make response before the Lord your God, 'A wandering Aramean was my father, and he went down to Egypt and sojourned there, few in number, and there he became a nation, great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians treated us harshly and humiliated us and laid us on hard labor. Then we cried to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction and toil and our oppression. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great deeds of terror, with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And behold, now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground, which you, O Lord, have given me, and you shall set it down before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. And you shall rejoice in all the good that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house, you and the Levite and the sojourner who is among you." So ends the first reading.
Thank you.
May there be congruency between the thoughts of our hearts and the words of our lips. May what we speak and sing also be that which we believe and nurture. We must confess unto you, Lord, that the words praising your faithfulness are never any more comfortable than in this setting, where we're hearing beautiful music and seeing smiling faces and sitting on cushioned seats. It's quite simple, quite forthcoming, quite appropriate for us to sing the truthfulness of your faithfulness. Remind us through your Spirit in those more difficult venues, those more trying situations, those locations that seem void of any joy and hope, that the God who is ever faithful is equally faithful in this sanctuary as in any courtroom or hospital room. Any boardroom, or maybe any lonely room. May that which we know in the light be remembered and reminded by your Spirit in the darkness, that you are the God of all faithfulness, and we are your grateful children, recipients, not just of some of your blessings, but of all the fullness of your blessings and 10,000s beside. May that be our hope and confidence in every situation, that we are your children. Therefore, as your children, we are bold to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The second reading comes from Romans 10, 8b to 13. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew or Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This ends the second reading.
our joy to give you but thine own. Use these gifts to the glory of God and the good of our neighbors. In your name, amen.
Gospel reading is Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and said to him, "To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." And he took him to Jerusalem, and set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ. You may be seated. Let us pray together. Our gracious Lord, we thank you for this day, for the opportunity to gather together. And we would pray that your Spirit would make our hearts and minds open and receptive of your word. And may my words be directed by the same Spirit to you alone. We would see Jesus in his name. Amen. Last week I told you the truth. Consider Jesus, I told you. Look only to him. That was the truth. But I need to give a major caveat to that truth. It is true, absolutely true, what Francis Schaeffer would call a true truth, that Jesus is there. But let me give you a caveat. Sometimes you can't see him. That doesn't take away from what I called us to do last week, and that is consider Jesus, to look full into his face, but sometimes you're not going to be able to see him. And that's what faith is for. Faith is believing that which is not seen. Let me give you try to demonstrate that. If you were having financial difficulties, and a rich friend came to you and said, "You know, I really appreciate who you are. I've been blessed by you through the years. I know you're struggling, and I have the ability to help you. And I promise that I'm going to give you $10,000 to help in your difficulties. And I just feel led to do it, and you can count on me. I'm going to give you $10,000. I feel led to do that." If that gentleman who's telling you that, at the same time he's talking, is pulling out his checkbook and writing you a check, you really don't need faith, do you? There's no time lapse. He made the promise, and he's writing you the check. But what if he said, in my analogy, "You know what, but I don't have my checkbook today. I'll mail it to you." So you go home, but all you have is a promise. And the tough part of faith is what I call the time factor. See, faith is a necessary part from the time factor. If he made a promise and then delivered immediately upon that promise, there's no faith necessary. You have it in hand. But when there's a time factor, different thoughts enter into our mind, don't they? We begin to doubt. Let's say a week goes by, no check has been received. We'll probably begin to doubt. Maybe I didn't hear him right. Maybe he said he'd like to be able to do. And we begin to question and we begin to doubt. And then fear sets in. We start to worry and get fearful. It's like, well, no, in my luck, he probably died. I mean, and we begin to get fearful. And then insecurity sets in. Well, why in the world would he want to help somebody like me anyway? There's so many other people more worthy of than me. Maybe he decided to give it to someone more worthy. And then finally, as time progresses, the worst thought of all moves in, and that's anger. Told you can't trust people. He lied to me. He might help others, but he's not going to help me. See, time can steal our peace. There's an adage when it comes to grief, and it has a great deal of validity, that time heals all wounds. And while it's as good as it goes, the process of time does enable us to take those great boulders that seem to be over us, and while we never forget it or move beyond, we get to the point where it's incorporated, so it's no longer over us and it's incorporated into our lives. But in another way, time can steal our peace. I got a little irritated this week that a cart that I ordered and paid for and it was supposed to be delivered wasn't. On those big things in life, the time factor can really steal our faith. And it's those times that we need our mouth and our heart, our mind, to reinforce our faith. As we read in, or had David read in Romans 9, there needs to be both my heart, which is my mind, my emotions, my will, and my mouth, need to work for me, for my faith, not against it. See, in time, our thoughts really go bad, don't they? It is true that the idle mind is the devil's workshop. You ever had too much time on your hand? And having too much time on your hand, you went from having a fairly decent day to a real bad case of stinking thinking. Because you're just thinking, pondering. Unlike Mary, who pondered upon these beautiful things of the grace of God, we start to ponder the worst. I've jokingly said before that I feel like my whole role as a pastor in every context is to simply be a smoky bear of faith. You know what Smoky Bear said, right? His adage, only you can prevent forest fire. I feel like my whole role is to simply say, only you control the thoughts between your ears as the Holy Spirit works there. There's, you know, let's be honest, there's so little in life we control. And the older we get, the more we realize we don't even control as much as we thought we controlled. Recent events let us know we don't have any control over the powers that be in the world. We don't have any real control over our children, do we? We don't even have control over our dogs. We don't have any control. But I'll tell you one thing that you do have control over. It's how we use that pondering mechanism of our mind. And what we are to do is to have our mind be filled with things of faith. And our mouths need to incorporate that. We must learn to not speak those things which we don't want to happen. I'm astounded by people that just speak that which they don't want. My thought is, if you don't want it, don't speak it. Now, I'm not talking about some type of magical you know, new age thinking here. I'm just saying, if you don't want it to be, don't mention it. Don't speak what you want to be forgotten. Don't speak what you don't want. Solomon said life and death are in the power of the tongue. And see, for both the heart and the mouth, we need the word to build faith. Later in Romans 10, we learn that it's the word that builds faith. If you've got to use your mind, focus on the word. If you've got to speak and you can't come up with anything faith-filled to speak, just start quoting scripture. But let me just be honest. Bottom line, it does take time. Don't expect immediate results. Don't expect immediate responses. Because faith would be unnecessary in that economy. It just takes time. We read in Genesis, as God laid the paradigm of which all creation would flow, in the economy, there was seed planting and there was harvest. But between the planting of the seeds and the harvest, there's time. What would you call a neighbor that you would have who put in seeds today and then gripe that he didn't get a crop tomorrow? What do we call us when we want to think that our relationship with the Almighty is like a vending machine? And if we put in the right money, we ought to get the right product immediately. And if we don't, what do? With the vending machine? We shake it. And I think a lot of our anxieties, we're shaking the Almighty, trying to force. It just takes time. Seed time and harvest. Now, I'll be quick to say sometimes God intervenes. We call those miracles. At the wedding of Cana, there was an intervention by our Savior. There wasn't the time necessary. Ipso facto, that water went from water to the best wine they had ever had. Those are miracles. But life doesn't function from miracle to miracle. The truth of the matter is, if we're honest, we need to stop looking for miracles and attend to the normal way in which God works. See, time allows for us to mature. Time allows for things to become obvious. Do you know something that's obvious is learned? The word obvious, and we use it often, the word obvious means to be in the way, to bump up against. My son-in-law is a mechanic. My son-in-law, a couple times, because I'm not a mechanic at all, I know where to put the gasoline, but that's about the extent of my knowledge. My son-in-law, several times I've taken one of my vehicles by him because I knew something was going wrong and it sounded wrong. But I didn't know. I just knew it sounded wrong. My son-in-law could listen to it, and several times he even said, "Oh, it's obvious what your problem is." But that didn't just happen. As much as I love my son-in-law, he didn't just have that knowledge because he's a lot smarter than I am, or better than I am, or better looking. It's not any magical part about him. Why is it obvious for him? Because he has spent the time to be in the way of engines when they're functioning well and when they're not. And because of that, he has matured and grown to have things obvious to him. Well, that's the same way it is in the spiritual economy. See, those that are able to handle life and grow in their faith, they're not better than we are, better than you are. They're not special Christians. They're just believers who day in and day out have been in the way, bumped up against those things that produce faith, word and sacrament. We learn faith by continued attention, not to the things going on, much less to the negative thinking we think and speak. We grow in faith as during that time of waiting, we bump into and stay faithful in our attention to the Word. In time, we usually do see that. But let me give a caveat in closing to the caveat I just gave. I gave you a caveat that sometimes you don't see. Let me give you a caveat to that caveat. Sometimes you'll never see. Sometimes you'll never see. Turn with me, if you have your scripture, to the book of faith, the hall of fame of faith, Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. In the 11th chapter of Hebrews, I quoted verse 1 without stating it earlier when I said that faith is the evidence of things not seen, and giving you the first caveat that sometimes you don't see. Well, this is the second warning. Sometimes you never will. Look in verse 36 as I begin in Hebrews 11. Speaking of heroes of faith, others, and to give you the background, he's gone, as most of you know, through a list of faithful people and things they've accomplished and the blessings they received. And then he sort of sums up at the end, verse 36. Others suffered mockings and floggings and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated. I've never seen any church program promoted using those adjectives I just read. But that's what the... And look what it says here in verse 38. Of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And above all else, though commended through their faith, they did not receive what was promised. Most of us would say in another context, they got cheated. They got gypped. But it goes on to say, since God had provided something better. See, us seeing, our understanding, it getting to the point where it makes sense is a wonderful thing. But the truth of our faith, there's something better. There's that radical abandonment to God, trusting that whether or not I can see it or not, it exists. Whether I can see God or not, it's there. It's not contingent upon my seeing it. Its reality is far more absolute and foundational. Let me close with two examples. How many of you remember in the late 70s, early 80s, there was this craze, I guess you would call it, of sort of artwork, but not really artwork. There'd be posters you could buy. In fact, there was a store in the mall in town that sold nothing but these posters that had all these multicolor blocks and lines and whatnot. And if you stared at it long enough, eventually you'd see a dragon or a tree. Do you remember those? Well, I hated those. And I hated friends and family that would get those and torture others with making us see them. Because I found out something. If you're colorblind, as I largely am, guess what I would do? I'd stare at that thing from now until the end of time. And I never saw anything. And I do what some Christians do. Sometimes just because I would get tired of it, I'll go, oh yeah, I see it, but I didn't see it. It was just to shut someone up. And I would look at it. And it didn't come from me. And if it mattered, maybe it would start to eat at my sense of worth or value. What's wrong with me? Everybody else gets it. Well, the truth of the matter is, that picture was there whether I could see it or not, right? Its existence did not depend upon me getting it. And brothers and sisters, our God, being a sovereign and benevolent God of the universe, does not depend upon you getting it. Amen. Or me getting it. And that's a great joy, because we don't have to worry about it anymore. We don't have to worry about it anymore. Second example I want to close with is far more divine than my story of visual artwork. Turn to Psalm 77. Psalm 77. The third book of Psalms, of which 77 is in, is a real mixed bag of tough feelings. And one of the things that I love about the Psalms is all of the psalmists, especially David, were just brutally honest. And the truth of the matter is, we don't have to approach God as with perfect little pious phrases. We can just go to God and be honest. He knows our thoughts anyway. Why would we try to lie to one who knows all our thoughts? And there's a great deal of just brute honesty in the Psalms. And this is a psalm that I'd like to read, beginning in verse 1. Try to catch the feeling behind the words. I wish I was a better reader to be able to have you capture that, but I hope the Spirit, as you read along, will give you that sense of the feeling. I cry aloud to God. Aloud to God, and He will hear me. This is not a silent whimpering. It's a wailing. In the day of my trouble, I seek the Lord. In the night, my hand is stretched out without wearying. My soul refuses to be comforted. Day and night, I'm just haunted with this. When I remember God, I moan. When I meditate, my spirit faints. You hold my eyelids open. I'm so troubled that I cannot speak. In other words, my eyelids being open, I can't buy sleep. I'm so distraught. I can't sleep. I don't know what to say. I consider the days of old, the years long ago. We start to see a little bit of healing here. I said, let me remember my song in the night. Let me meditate in my heart. Then my spirit made a diligent search. Will the Lord spurn forever and never again be favorable? Has His steadfast love forever ceased? Are His promises at the end for all times? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has He in anger shut up His compassion? Then I said, I'll appeal to this, to the ears of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. For your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the peoples. You, with your arm, redeemed your people, the children of Jacob and Joseph. When the waters saw you, O God, when the waters saw you, they were afraid. Indeed, the deep trembled. The clouds poured out water. The skies gave forth thunder. Your arrows flashed on every side. The crash of the thunder was in the whirlwind. Your lightnings lit up the world. The earth melted and shook. It's interesting that he does see God, but he sees God in the midst of the storm. Your ways was through the sea, your path through great waters, yet your footprints were unseen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Yet your footprints were not seen. We can't hear that as American Christians and not remember that poem, Footprints. Remember that poem? And it's wonderful that sometimes we can look back, and I think the song or poem to summarize, when I look back, there were two sets of footprints. But then sometimes there's just one set, and that's the times, Lord, you were carrying me. Well, this psalm is more honest than that poem. Because for many of us, we look back, and sometimes we don't see any footprints. We can look back on some things and say, yeah, I can see how God worked through it. And some things we look back, if we're honest, we say, we don't know how in the world we went through it. Faith is knowing that God exists. And it's saying it, and it's thinking it. So let me close with an alliterative homework assignment. From this psalm, I'm going to tell you three things that we need to do that might help. Bottom line, we still go through it. But these three things will help reinforce our faith. And we see them right in the text. The first thing is, remember. The word used over and over. Remember. I like to ask. I've asked you at times before. How many of you have ever gone through something that you couldn't handle? And I'll see sometimes hands go up. But then people realize, wait a minute, if I'm putting my hand up, obviously, with the Lord, we got through. Like that bumper sticker says, you have survived, I would add, with God's direction. You have survived 100% of all your worst days prior. Your track record is excellent. Or let me rephrase that. His track record is excellent. Remember all he's done. Repeat. Repeat in two ways. Repeat, keep doing, bumping into, becoming obvious with those things he's promised to be present, word and sacrament. And repeat, not only keep doing, but repeat with your voice. Use your mind. And if you can't control your mind, at least keep your mouth shut. And only repeat those things that reflect the truth. And then finally, we remember, we repeat, just rejoice. Because at the end of the day, for all our thinking, like that old song I learned in elementary school in the 60s. The truth is, he's got the whole world in his hands. He is there. We can rest in peace. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Let us stand and confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
If you'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Praise and thanksgiving belong to you, God of every blessing, for you shaped all creation to grow into your abundant and eternal harvest. You called a holy people to share life with you, and when they were captive in Egypt, with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, you brought them out of oppression, through the temptations of the wilderness, into a land flowing with milk and honey. In time, your Son came among us, facing wilderness and temptation and hunger, to bring us out of bondage to sin, and to taste and see that you, the Lord, are good. And so we thank you with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven as we join the unending hymn.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. God of mercy, you gave your people manna day by day during their times of testing. And because no one can live by bread alone, you gave Jesus to be our true bread from heaven. Send your Holy Spirit upon your church to live as a sign of the way you transform this manna into mercy for all. With your Spirit, bless this bread and this cup. May they be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after supper, he took the cup. Again, he gave you thanks, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is the cup of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died.
Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Faithful God, whose Son did not escape suffering and death, but accepted and finally overcame them, bring your disciples by the way of his cross to the joy of Easter. Strengthen your church to resist evil of every kind and turn from sin. With your mighty hand and outstretched arm, uphold those enduring trials and any who know their very life is at stake. Be with your children who are heavy laden and all who labor beneath the misuse of power by another. Admit temptations to be successful. Shape your children first to be faithful to your kingdom. Until the day when in your resurrected glory there is one life, one sharing, one holy communion among all saints, with you to whom all glory belongs forever, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. At the heart and apex of our worship service, and at the heart and center of our faith, is this quite paradoxical, yea, even absurd table. We're marching toward a day in which was truly the worst day in the created time. The day in which the sovereign died. The day in which for us, one laid down his holy life while we were still sinners. But this tragic day has a certain name, and appropriately so. This horrific day, this terrible day, this absolutely horrific and horrendous day, we call Good Friday. At the heart of our faith is this wonderful truth that in Christ
death becomes life. Sin becomes forgiveness. Darkness becomes light. And sorrow becomes full joy. It's offered to us in Christ Jesus, and I offer it to you. All those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in sincerity and truth are invited to this, His table. We're all welcome to come in His name. We practice in our congregation by intinction. I'll give you a piece of the bread. You dip it into the chalice and then make your way here for prayer. I would invite you to remember to pray for the other. Pray for someone that's on your heart. And if you'd like to send them a reminder that they were prayed for, feel free to take one of these cards to let others know. To extend this table beyond the physical parameters here. For God's love goes to all. The table is spread. Let us keep the feast.
Thank you.
thank you for your provision. We thank you that we have that wonderful phrase, the same yesterday, today, and forever. We look back and see the rock that followed the children, even in their wanderings, and from that rock, living water came. We look back and see the giving of manna. We receive today your blessed presence in body and blood at your table. And we look forward to that wonderful feast of all people from the four corners of the globe, praising the provision of our loving Father. How can we do anything other than praise your holy name, both now and forevermore? Amen. Let us stand and sing our final hymn this morning. Amen. The service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord.